From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Thursday, March 30th, 2017. I'm Philip Grant. Roger Hannigan-Gilson and Daniel Zuckerman are reporting for Columbia Green Media. Proposed federal budget cuts to programs funding Meals on Wheels are not expected to impact the program in Columbia and Greene counties, according to state and local officials. The State Home Delivered Meals program are partially funded by the Community Development Block Grant Program, which is slated to be eliminated. However, Greg Olson, acting director of New York State Office of the Aging, said those funds are not directed to home-delivered meals in New York. A second program, the Federal Older Americans Act, provides support for senior meals, but proposed cuts to the federal budget will not have much of an impact locally, Olson said. Columbia County Office of the Aging Administrator Kevin McDonald said only 20% of his department's funding comes from the federal government. The majority of the funding comes from the state, county, and private donors. While Greene County authorities expressed some anxiety over potential budget cuts, but County Department of the Aging business manager Ken Brooks said federal block grants do not fund home-delivered meals. The program receives state funding and is subsidized by the county and then matched, and some of the seniors contribute as well, Brooks said. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Rosa Atchison is reporting in the Register Star that the A. Colarusso & Son Hall Road application was advanced by the Greenport Planning Board this week. The action was taken despite an unresolved order to remedy issued by Hudson Code Enforcement in January. In a unanimous vote on Tuesday, March the 28th, the Planning Board moved the application forward to a public information meeting scheduled to take place at 6:30 p.m. on April the 18th at Columbia Green Community College. The meeting had been tentatively set for February 28th. Planning Board Chairman William Stifler said, and I quote, "The purpose of the meeting will be to receive comments concerning environmental aspects of the project and provide us with additional information so we can complete the SEQR review, so I think that's going to be our next step," end quote. Stifler said Colarusso will have time during the April 18th public meeting to outline the project before the Planning Board starts taking public comments. Written comments will be accepted through April 21st, Stifler said. The order to remedy issued by Hudson Code Enforcement Officer Craig Hay, January 24th, is currently on appeal to the Zoning Board of Appeals. The order alleged the company replaced a concrete and wood bulkhead with a steel bulkhead on the South Front Street loading dock property without the approval of the City Planning Board. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Brian Nearing is reporting in the Times Union that a solar farm in Rensselaer County is the first community solar array in the Capital Region. The farm provides power to buildings in the Albany City School District as well as private homes and apartments. The 1,200 panels are located in a 5-acre former hayfield in Pittstown. Project builder Mark Fobar, CEO of Monolith Solar, said community solar aims at building potential customers who may not want or be able to install individual solar units. Customers pay off their ownership share with fixed monthly payments spanning a 5 to 9 year period. The Albany City School District owns half of the Pittstown Solar Farm, with the balance shared amongst 26 homeowners or apartment dwellers throughout the Capital Region. A school spokesman said the farm is expected to reduce the district's annual electric bill by 4%. The Pittstown Solar Farm is among about 40 similar facilities statewide owned by Monolith. A similar community solar project is being planned for a capped former municipal landfill in Kingston. That farm is expected to generate enough power to supply 300 average homes. You can read that full story in the Times Union. Melanie Lekachevic reports in the Ravenna News Herald that the renovations at the Lafarge cement plant are nearly complete. Kathy Lessick, Lafarge's Area Environment and Public Affairs Manager, last week told the RSC Community Business Association that the modernization work at the plant could be finished in late April or May. The plant's two kilns have been eliminated in favor of a single stack tower, and Kelsick predicted a decline in air emissions, power needed, and water usage by Lafarge. She said, and I quote, "The fabric filter bag house will replace electrostatic precipitators, which use much less power and are more efficient at removing pollutants." The site in Albany County used to be the largest cement plant in North America. You can read that full story in the Ravenna News Herald. Rosa Atchison reports in the Register Star that Hudson Police Chief Edward L. Moore again expressed opposition to Hudson's sanctuary city status on March the 28th after U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said sanctuary cities could be stripped of Justice Department funding. Moore said of Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, and I quote, "I have spoken to several members of ICE, and I get the feeling that something less than our full cooperation is going to be interpreted as a lack of cooperation," end quote. Sessions said on March the 27th, and I quote, "Such policies make their cities and states less safe and put them at the risk of losing valuable federal dollars," end quote. Hudson Police Commissioner Martha Harvey and Mayor Tiffany Martin Hamilton issued an order February 20th limiting the access ICE agents can have to city resources, and the Hudson Common Council recently passed a resolution declaring Hudson a sanctuary city. Moore said, and I quote, "I do not know if the federal government will move to withhold any of its money or deny us grants based on their interpretation of our city as sanctuary," end quote. The Hudson Police's Bulletproof Vest Partnership Program, which replaces vests as they become obsolete, the PTS Governor's Traffic Safety Grant, which provides federal money for traffic safety enforcement, and the Tactical Team Grant, which outfits the police team with tactical bulletproof vests and radios, all get federal funds. New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman said in a statement, and I quote, "As my office's legal guidance makes clear, President Trump lacks the constitutional authority to broadly cut off funding to states and cities just because they have lawfully acted to protect immigrant families." You can read that full story in the Register Star. Patricia Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that U.S. Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, believes his constituency is evenly divided on health care without providing any facts to support that claim. It is true that Faso's congressional district is closely split between Republicans and Democrats, and he says, and I quote, "I would say that my constituency is pretty divided on the whole health care question. A lot of people want to see the ACA or single-payer system, and just as many people, in my view, want to see us get rid of the ACA. I'm trying to listen to both sides," end quote. Faso's office reports 54,000 telephone calls and emails from constituents since he took office January 3rd. Faso's office, unlike many other representatives, refuses to release specific numbers on the opinions of his phone callers, but Faso has conceded that, and I quote, "most of the calls," end quote, are in favor of keeping or improving the current health care system. Faso has refused to hold town hall meetings, but activists have held one for him, and also several protests, marches, and rallies, with most attending opposed to repealing the current health care system. In January, Faso polled subscribers to his online newsletter asking, and I quote, "Do you support the reform of the Affordable Health Care Act to lower costs and expanding access to health care?" end quote. 432 computers responded yes, 406 responded no, and 95 claimed an undecided status. That very unscientific online poll is the only fact Faso has said that backs up his claim that his constituents are divided on health care issue. Last week, Faso voted for the new Republican health care plan in committee and announced he would vote for it on the House floor before Republican leadership pulled the bill because it was not going to pass. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny day for today with a temperature high near 51 degrees. There will be a slight chance of rain before 11 p.m., then rain and snow are likely. A period of light snowfall is expected late Thursday night with a dusting possible by daybreak. For Thursday night, it will be cloudy with a temperature low of 33 degrees. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, rain and snow and sleet are likely before 7 a.m., turning to rain and sleet with a temperature high of 35 degrees. Friday night, rain, snow, and sleet again before midnight, turning into rain and sleet with a temperature low of 33 degrees. And on Saturday, rain showers and sleet are likely, possibly mixed with snow showers before 8 a.m. and turning into rain by late morning. It will be cloudy, and the temperature high for Saturday will be 40 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Sunrise today was at 6:39 a.m., and the sun will set at 7:19 p.m. That will give us 12 hours and 40 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Thursday, the 30th day of March, 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day. and a pleasant tomorrow.